Church. Do you think it'll snow?
No.
I have some good news. It will come to an end. This past week I saw two flocks of robins. Not two robins, two flocks of robins. So indeed warmer days are coming and spring is right around the corner. And, you know, when I look out on a day like today, I see where the diehards are. Leanna and I rode in together today to church. And when we were along here, there was a gentleman on his way to Mass, had on his suit, had on his hat, had a scarf wrapped around his face, as he was traveling on his bicycle, pedaling away, hit the alley and put his feet down and slid a little bit like the runners on a snowmobile. And Phil says, "Oh yeah, he's every day rain, snow, sunshine. Every Sunday morning, he's riding his bike." Now, that is commitment and dedication. So when you're apt not to do something, I don't know who that guy is, may he be a role model. And so as we come together to worship this day and to celebrate the gifts and blessings from Almighty God, it is a beautiful, light, fluffy snow. It's not the dangerous, heavy, wet one. So celebrate that as you're shoveling perhaps later today. May we come and worship the one who seeks to bless us with every type of blessing in the world. And may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
Good morning. We'd like to offer a warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning, and especially those who are visiting with us. If you are visiting with us today, please be sure to take a welcome packet from the Shepherd's Crook near the entrance to the sanctuary. And as I'm sharing our announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad in each pew and pass it to others in your pew, finally returning it toward the center aisle. If you notice that someone who normally sits near you is missing this morning, please give them a call this week and let them know that they were missed. You also may write any prayer requests on the cards in the attendance folders and place them in the holders at the ends of the pews so that our ushers can bring them to the pastor before the joys and concerns. So if you would refer to the bulletin for some announcements and the mission and the ministry of our church and the work of our church. So specifically regarding canceling Sunday services, unless the state officials declare a state of emergency, which requires all non-emergency personnel to stay off the roads, Sunday services here at First Church will be held. And there is some information regarding Safe Sanctuaries 2015 and some changes in Pennsylvania law that you need to know, especially if you're a volunteer or involved with children of the church. You may need to update your clearances. The Spud Bar on Friday, next Friday, this coming Friday, March 6th from 5 to 7, is part of the Talents Program. And you'll get a baked potato with complete toppings, bar, homemade dessert, and a drink. And takeouts will also be available, and all proceeds will benefit the church. Thank you very much. Is Laurie talking about summer camp? Or there's questions regarding summer camp, you can contact Laurie, the camp steward, and there are registration forms in the office.
We need your help with publicity for Living Last Supper. Before first service, there were over 200 pocket poster little ticket cards out on the narthex table. Please take a handful and pass them out to everyone you meet. There are also paper posters. When we run out, I will print some more. And finally, just to the right of the doors as you exit are the yard signs. If you can find your yard to put them in. But please go ahead and take those, and as soon as the weather permits it or the ground gets soft enough, put our signs up. We would appreciate all of that. And since that's done, this is the 1st of March, so I had to bring my boots to march in. It's really hard being creative. The Sunday after Easter is Holy Humor Sunday, and I need you to start be thinking about what wonderful creation you'll wear on your head. And also, after the second service, we're going to have a Holy Humor lunch. And it's going to be potluck, so you can bring whatever you want. Make it for a service for about 10 or 12 people if you can. And it needs to be a Holy Humor dish. Now, I don't know if we'll get like 20 varieties of green eggs and ham, but to make it a little bit easier, we're going to provide some little note cards. So if you bring a normal dish and want to give it a Holy Humor name, you can put the name on it. So that'll help. And during that luncheon, we will also have a fashion show of all of the wonderful creations that you come up with. So I hope you'll join us to continue the Easter celebration the Sunday after Easter.
Without it, we stumble blindly in the darkness. With it, everything is illuminated and clear. Sometimes the light is dim. Sometimes it flickers, ready to die. that as long as we have it to guide our path, we know we are safe. Christ, who is called the light of the world, is called the light of the world. And we, as his followers, are instructed to walk in the light as he is in the light.
I am James the Lesser. I remember that Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men." Jesus was living out his last days, yet his light never wavered. If we were in his place, knowing that death awaited us soon, would we still reflect our light? Would our brightness shine against the darkness of the world?
And what about now? Does our light, our faith, burn brightly, or does it flicker in the turmoil of our daily lives? Would we rather stay in the dark after the candles are extinguished, or do we yearn for the light? For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Let us gather strength from the example of Jesus as he faced the darkness of his own death.
All who are able, I'd like you to ask you to stand, please, for our call to worship. All who revere the Lord.
Praise God.
All who are Jacob's descendants.
Honor God.
All who are Israel's offspring.
Stand in awe of God.
All who have come to Irwin First United Methodist Church.
Worship God today.
Can we please remain standing for our prayer in unison? God of Abram and Sarai, you offered the hope and promise of a blessing, a child of their own late in life, a child of their own when nothing on earth pointed to an abundant future. You transform lives and shower grace upon all generations. God of Abraham and Sarah, through your servants, you show us what faith looks like. Help us give up our dependence on worldly logic, that we may rest fully in your promise of new life. Amen. Remain standing, please, for our hymn of praise in our red hymnal, number 553, "And Are We Yet Alive?"
Thank you. seated. How is everyone today? Did you play a little in the snow on the way into church? No, just got in the car. Was the car in the garage or outside? In the garage. Anybody have to clean the car off? I did. Mommy cleaned the car off with a brush? A snow brush? That's what I used. Yep. I could have used a leaf blower. It would have blown right off the car. It was so white and fluffy. That's the fun kind. Yeah. So there's some fun stories in the Bible. Well, let me dig in here. Where did it go? Oh, there it is. I have a piece of paper. If you got a bulletin today, you got a little piece of paper. And it's called Human Relations Day. Do you know, when Jesus was here, he let everybody come to see him. Everybody. Now, John Wesley, that's a name that started our Methodist church back in the 1700s, a couple hundred years ago. And he didn't like what his church was doing because his church wouldn't let certain people in, made them stay outside. And so John Wesley said, well, I'm going to go see those people that you won't let in. So John preached out on the streets. Now, we talk, well, there's a story that Jesus told about a shepherd that had 100 sheep and he lost one. And so now he has 99. You know, if you have 90, if you have 100 pieces of candy and you lose one, is that big of a deal? No, because you still have 99. But for Jesus, losing that one sheep was important. And so he went and searched and searched and searched until he found that one. And then he celebrated. And what it means is that we are important to Jesus just like that one that was lost. And so Human Relations Day talks about those people that are like that one sheep that are lost. Or that we as a church sometimes say, well, we don't want those people in here. Well, we shouldn't have that attitude. We should let everyone come in. So your moms and dads can read about this in the bulletin as well, and this is in every bulletin. So when you're collecting today, you're going to collect for those people that maybe have never heard about Jesus. That lost sheep that needs to. So I'm going to say thank you for collecting, and thank you all for giving for that so that others might hear about this Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. For those that are welcoming of all your children, O God, we are grateful. And pray that we might always invite everyone to come and sit with us in church. Be with these boys and girls, O God, as they live and grow. Be with their moms and dads, their caregivers, their grandmas and grandpas, their teachers. May they all live and grow for you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
I come to you. Hungry.
as always. I'd like to invite you to join in our responsive reading in our red hymnals on page 752 for 22nd Psalm. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer.
And by night, you find no rest.
Yet you, the praise of Israel, are enthroned in holiness.
In you, our forebears have trusted. They trusted and you delivered them.
To you, they cried and were saved.
In you, they trusted and were not disappointed.
But I am a worm and not human. All who see me mock at me.
They make mouths at me, but whatever it is.
He committed his cause to the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Let the Lord rescue him, for the Lord delights in him.
Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe upon my mother's breast.
Upon you I was cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God.
Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is nothing to tell.
Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me.
They fill wide their mouths with me, like a ravening pour of roaring wine.
I am poured out like water. My heart is like wax.
It is melted within my breast.
My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws.
You lay me in the dust of death.
Indeed, dogs surround me.
A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet.
I can count all my bones.
They stare and gloat over me.
They divide my garments among them. From you comes my praise in the great congregation.
My vows I will pay for those who worship the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied.
Those who seek the Lord shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
And all the ends of the nations shall worship before the Lord.
For dominion belongs to the Lord who rules over the nations.
All who sleep in the earth shall bow down to the Lord.
All who go down to the dust shall bow before the Lord, and I shall live for God.
Posterity shall serve the Lord.
Each generation shall tell of the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn.
Surely the Lord has done it.
I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward, please, for our presentation of God's tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
patience and compassion, we pray that today we will offer not only our gifts of money, but also our gifts of ourselves. We think of ourselves as followers of Christ, but we realize in this holy season that too rarely we deny ourselves in living out our discipleship. We have risked little and sacrificed even less for you. Our prayer today is that we might find the faith and courage to love you more than life itself. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Coming to this time in our service where it's a privilege to pray for one another and for those in need. If you turn on the back of our worship folder, you'll see some individuals there, well, a list of individuals there that we seek to keep and to hold in our prayers. As far as I know, no one is in Forbes Hospital. Is Hazel still? She was out and then in, out, back in again. And Wendell is home, correct? Wendell fell this past week and spent a couple days in the hospital, but he's home recuperating and staying in where it is safe and it is dry. We also want to thank today, Phil was here pretty early on his birthday, shoveling. He is 66 today. So we were talking in confirmation class about the spirit being like the wind. So I hope he takes a deep breath when he blows his candles out and gets them all and doesn't get short of breath. I don't see him back there, so he's not going to clobber me. A God moment when things fit together. Human relations offering today, you read stories in the envelope and in the bulletin about those in the church that aren't always included. And how through some act of kindness or generosity or a prayer or something, that person then gets connected. Over the last year, there's been a friend of Peggy's that's been sitting right here, Maggie. We know her as Maggie. Mount Pleasant knew her as Margaret, as Peg, as Peggy. We buried Maggie yesterday. I'm not going to dance around any issues. Maggie was an alcoholic. Maggie died in her home because she was drinking by herself and they found her 4 days later. My uncle, about 15 years ago, when I was asked by his children to perform his ceremony, I had the same situation where my uncle Red, as we called him, his name was Reverdy. He was an alcoholic as well. It cost him his family. Two out of his four kids today are alcoholics as well. The church does not always know how to handle people that are different, people that we don't know what to do with. Alcoholics, we tend to push them off to the side or to the fringes of society. Let's face it, sometimes we say give them a drink. That'll settle them down and get them on their way to where they just slump in a chair. When my Uncle Red died and my sister came up to me and she said, "Oh, David, I would not want to be you today." We didn't know that Uncle Red ever went to church. All we knew that he did was drank coffee, smoked cigarettes, and drank. And somehow managed to go to work. But I had started teaching the Disciple Bible Study class. And I remembered when I was working on Uncle Red's funeral, I remembered the chapter that dealt with the Gospel of Luke. Thursday of this past week, in the Disciple Bible Study class, we once again dealt with the chapter dealing with the Gospel of Luke. the same week that Maggie died as an alcoholic. And the name of that title in the Disciple One study manual is God Seeks. God seeks the lost, the least, and the lonely. God seeks them. Even when we as human beings do not know how to handle them, God seeks them. Now, friends, that's the best news that we can ever hear, because at some point in our lives, we are outcasts as well. It might be that we're an outcast because we're a believer in the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and society pushes us away, but God seeks us. And that's something to celebrate. Now, I said at Maggie's funeral, it would have half filled the downstairs in this sanctuary, the lower part of this sanctuary. I said to them, and I will say to you, if you have an addiction and you've got a problem with alcohol, then for the sake of your family and friends and your children, you need to get that fixed and taken care of today. Not tomorrow, not somewhere down the road, but today. Continue to pray for Maggie's family. Continue to pray for individuals on our prayer list. Continue to pray for those in our world and those in our society that society pushes as the least, as the lost, as the lonely. I was at a meeting this past Monday, and we had a census. If they knew we were coming, they did it of the church. And I was dumbfounded. I sat, because we were to get next to people from our geographical area, I sat with the pastor, Ray Lyons, from Circleville United Methodist Church. I don't think it's any rocket science. It doesn't take much to know that we in this community are about 98% white. But what surprised me between this church and Circlesville Church is the Circlesville Church, about 96% of their geographical area around their church, those living in the homes are moms and dads and children. In our area, about 46% of those living in our area are moms and dads with children. And another 46% are single moms raising their kids. We've pushed aside a whole element of society that we in our church are missing. So if you look in the newsletter that came out just this past week, some of those words that are in there that I wrote for us to ponder are based on some of those census studies. And we're going to take a hard look at some of those after Easter and determine the mission and ministry of this church. Keep that in your prayers as we seek to be faithful, not to our past, but to what God is calling us to do in the days ahead. And let us remember all of those individuals that society's not sure how to deal with. But Christ says, let them come to me. So let us unite our hearts and our spirits as we unite our voices in our prayer hymn this morning. Number 424. Must Jesus, what's that number up there? 424. Must Jesus bear this cross alone? And may we seek to pick up our crosses, our burdens, our part of ministry, and get on board with this Christ thing. Let us sing together.
Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful this day for the gift of life and love that comes to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. The one who, at his very birth, had outcasts show up and to share the news of the angels in the fields. The one who in his ministry spoke about being one who had no place to lay his head. For our Christ was homeless. For the one who was pushed aside because he was a little different, because the world did not perceive him as the Messiah. And so they crucified him. Oh God, must Jesus bear and carry his cross alone? Oh no. Oh no, oh God. For you have chosen us to be cross bearers. You have chosen us to live and to share, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. To make sacrifices in our own lives so that others might have and see and experience the gifts and the blessings of Christ our Lord. Oh God, when we look around us, there is indeed a multitude of gifts and blessings and good news that's easy to share with the world. If only we will. The good news of being received into his presence. The good news of the freedom to worship and celebrate life. The good news of grace and forgiveness. The good news today, O God, of this holy meal. O God, we pray that in our daily lives and living, that as we pick up our crosses, that we, O God, might be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, that we might be his eyes and his ears, that we might have his heart and his compassion. And, oh God, when necessary, speak words. Oh God, it doesn't matter whether we're in church or in a car or on a bus or at home or with our neighbors or at work or someplace. You call us to be the church, to be your children, to be your disciples, to be those whose life is connected to Christ, whose life radiates forth his beauty, his presence, his light, so that the world might come to know his good news. Oh God, we pray that all that we do and all that we say, that it might bring honor and glory to you. You call us, O God, to pray for brothers and sisters, to pray for the hurts and the needs of individuals in our midst. And so today we are mindful of those on our prayer list. We are mindful, O God, of those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We are mindful, O God, of those who are caught in addictions. We are mindful, Lord God, of those who are oppressed, those who are filled with hatred and turmoil. We pray for those who have no place to lay their head, who are cold, who are hungry. We pray for those, O God, who are clueless when it comes to your good news. We pray for those, O God, who are called to faithfully be your church, your servants, your disciples, your children. Continue, O God, to bless us and strengthen us that we might be your faithful church and indeed a source, a power to contend with in the world. May we be leaders and not followers. May we be a bold, brilliant, shining light and not the taillights. O God, bless and anoint each individual and family that is represented here this day as we go into the world and seek to be your faithful servants. For we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We make preparations to hear the Gospel of Mark today. If you are able, I would invite you to stand. Hear these words that the writer of Mark has for us today. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. And then he called the crowd with the disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world and forsake their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives, our living. Oh God, now in these moments that we share together, we pray that your presence will rest upon us, to strengthen us, to comfort us, to give us a sense of rest and peace from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, oh God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus Christ was on a mission. He began his mission the day he was born. And his mission was to offer to us as human beings a way back to God because of our separation from God through sin. Jesus Christ had the authority to forgive, the power to redeem, and the love to offer salvation to us all. His disciples were just a little bit clueless. They were hoping for, they were looking towards, they were expecting a Messiah who would come and who would fight against and overturn the power of the Roman government and army. But Jesus knew that these disciples of his could just not grasp hold of what he was saying, and he knew that he, when he started talking to them about his death, that they would just really go off the end and not have any idea what he was talking about, and yet he sent it anyways. Planting seeds about his life for the future harvest. Preparing the ground within the disciples' hearts and minds and spirits to hopefully bloom into faith that would be needed in the days ahead. The openness and the forthright words that Jesus was talking about his suffering and rejection, well, it just pushes Peter over the edge. Peter, we're told, actually pulled Jesus aside. The Bible does not always include small details like this. It doesn't include them for nothing, and when it does, we ought to pay attention. As strong as Peter was most times, although he was the one who frequently engaged his mouth before his brain, he did not want Jesus to be looking weak in front of the disciples. And so he pulls Jesus aside to try to help him before he begins to speak some more words that just might possibly demoralize the disciples. And so Jesus pulls him aside to speak to him because too much was at stake within the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Jesus must have cut Peter off. For the scriptures say that Peter began to reprimand Jesus, but Jesus, seeing where this wall was going and what was going on, he interrupted Peter. And verse 33 says, by turning and looking at his disciples. Now come on, you've all experienced that, either from mom or dad or from a spouse, when you know when they turn and look at you eyeball to eyeball, something is coming. I remember this past Christmas Eve, there was a lot of activities going on and things were taking place and trying to get done, and someone said something and then I needed to go, and they stirred it. And I just knew kind of what was going on and thought they wanted to chew and bite on my ear, but I didn't have time, and so I did not turn around and look at them eyeball to eyeball, and I'm just not sure what would have happened if I would have. But Jesus turned and looked at his disciples. We've all had mom or dad grab hold of us and say, or a spouse and say, it's a come to Jesus meeting right now, you better shut your mouth and you need to listen. Talk about a come to Jesus meeting from Jesus. Whoo! One of the moms said to me, oh yeah, we've had to have a few of those with our kids. And when the husband gets involved and says, it is time for a come to Jesus meeting, you better pay up and listen. And the kid said, I've had one of those talks before. Must not have clicked that time. Then Jesus goes on to reprimand Peter. And in so doing, Jesus is addressing the spirit that is driving Peter's action. And so Jesus just looks at him and says, you get behind me, Satan. It must have been a shock for Peter to hear those words. But Jesus has clearly identified the enemy, and it was in Peter. And And if this enemy had surfaced in Peter, who was one of the top three disciples of Jesus, that small inner circle, if that temptation and spirit can get in Peter, then folks, that spirit can get in us as well. Satan earlier had tempted Jesus, had tempted him with earthly riches, and now Satan was involved with his own disciple Peter. He had infiltrated Peter's thinking. He had infiltrated the inner 12, the inner 3. And he was seeking now to challenge Jesus and to offer him that temptation to avoid the suffering that Jesus was approaching, to avoid his destiny altogether. But Jesus would have none of this. And he immediately identified the enemy. And because of the offer of the way to avoid what God had already ordained, Jesus went at it full force. And Jesus remembered that in the end of his 40 days of his time in the wilderness, his temptations, that Jesus was tempted for food and material possessions. And now the temptation coming at him was to avoid suffering. Jesus sets that challenge out in the open. Peter, you're seeing things from a human standpoint, not from God's point of view. And then Jesus throws out the challenge, follow me or perish. Lose your life or save it. Deny yourself pleasures and things in this world. Take up your cross. Get ready to die to yourself and follow me. Profit is of no gain. It is not life-giving. It is not eternal. And those who choose worldly things over Jesus Christ and deny him, then Jesus says, when my time comes, then you will be rejected as well. Now Peter, Jesus makes an example of Peter in the crowd, in front of the crowd, in front of all of history. For the sake of those who have come into his presence and also need to be reprimanded. My friends, that reprimand is, it is the temptation of telling Jesus what to do instead of listening. It's a temptation to pull Jesus aside and to seek to keep him from being who he has come into the world to be. It's a powerful moment for Jesus and Peter and his disciples and those other believers that are around. But notice something critically important. In the next few stories, Jesus goes up on the mountain and he is there transfigured with his three closest disciples, James, John, and Peter. So Peter, even having gone through this moment of this incredible reprimand from Jesus Christ, get behind me, Satan, is still there. Oh, I remember a time. It was in the summer, and Mom and I got angry at each other. And so I packed a few things, and I ran off into the woods. I was running away. I was done with her. I was done with this. And I'm going to live with my great aunt. I know where she lives. I can get there. After all, it's three houses away. But I knew how to cut through the woods because I was too young to walk up the road by myself. I knew how to cut down through the woods and go back to the spring and follow the other spring up and cut through the swamp in the other backyards. And I could come out at Aunt Lou's on the backside of the garden, on the backside behind her sheds, and I could get to her door that we always entered. And I knew that Aunt Lou would welcome me with wide open arms. But I also knew that Aunt Lou's husband had been a minister, and I knew that eventually she was going to make me go home. But I also knew, as I was sitting there in the woods before I even got to Aunt Lou's home, that I started remembering that it was the house I was looking at where I had a room. And I had a bed, and I had a soft pillow, and I had clean clothes, and I had 3 meals a day, and I had siblings, and I had a mom and a dad, and it was there that I knew that I was loved and cared for. And so I went home. And Peter, knowing that he had had a reprimand of all reprimands, knew that he could return and still be in the presence of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. That indeed his sins were forgiven and he was restored to health and wholeness in his relationship. Today, this meal comes to us as well. That even after we received a reprimand for our sins, for our shortcomings, for our humanness, that Christ still welcomes us with wide open arms and says, I gave my life for you and your sins are forgiven. Come home. And indeed, there is joy and celebration just as the Father welcomed that prodigal son into his presence. Welcome home. Receive grace and forgiveness. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. There is grace and forgiveness. There are turning points in our lives. There is good news. We are always welcome in your holy presence. Oh God, continue to work your wonders in us, body, mind, and spirit. For it's in Christ our Lord that we pray. Amen. We come together during this time to remember. To remember that this meal that Jesus was sharing with his disciples, it was not the first time that he had this meal. A good Jewish family would have had this meal every year at Passover. And so Jesus would have experienced this meal some 30 times in his life. They would have gathered with family and friends. They would have gathered together in a room. They would have told the stories of the ancient Israelite people and their delivery from slavery in Egypt. They would have read the story about the plagues. They would have read the story about the final plague where families gathered together and ate certain foods and a lamb was selected and it was killed. The blood was collected. It was placed on the mantle, the doorway around that home. And when they gathered together that evening to eat and consume everything on the table that night, that God's angel of death swept through the land. And that blood offered them freedom because that angel of death passed that home. But in every other home where that marking of that blood was not there, the firstborn died. And so Jesus gathered to share this meal of deliverance from slavery and captivity into freedom with his disciples and probably their families that night. A sense of joy and celebration to remember their past. And as the ritual was unfolding and the youngest lady had a part and the youngest child had a part, at some point during the meal, Jesus then took bread. He lifted it to the heavens, he blessed it, he broke it, and said, this is my body.
and it's being broken for you. And remembering that blood had given them freedom and given them life, Jesus then picked the cup up and said, "This cup is a new covenant because my blood is going to be shed for you. And it's going to offer to you grace and forgiveness." And so we come together today to remember. To remember Christ our Lord, the bread of life, and his body that's been broken for us. Let us eat and remember him. Some point during that meal, then Jesus picked up the cup. And he lifted it to the heavens as well. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant. This cup is my blood shed for you. That final, that complete, that perfect sacrifice on your behalf for the forgiveness of your sins." For the United Methodist Church, this table is not ours. The United Methodist Church, it's a joy to say that the communion table is open to the lost, to the least, to the lonely, to me and to you. All ages, all places around the world, Christ invites us to come. So this morning we will be receiving communion by intinction. I'll ask that you come under the direction of the ushers. Center aisle, a piece of bread will be broken off for you. Please dip that in the juice and then you may eat it. If you don't want to take it by intinction, there are elements up here as well for you. And then return to your seats by the side aisle. Christ invites us. Let us come. Our gracious and loving God, your holy presence through this holy mystery of communion is upon us, is within us, is restoring us to health and wholeness, to be your church, to be your people, to be those alive and well in mission and ministry to the world. Oh God, continue to bless us, anoint us, use us, for it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together.
forth in your name, O God, we go. We go into the world to live and to be your good news to all the world. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.